You ready?
Ready?
Watch out, Frankfurt!
Bye.
Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. Tonight, we bring to you Sports Whispers Weekly. I apologize if my voice sounds any different tonight. I've been dealing with some sort of issue, which may make me sound like I, you know, have a little bit of a lisp or something here. Anyways, we have a lot to cover tonight. We have down to the conference championships between the Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Los Angeles Rams to determine who will go to the Super Bowl. We have some coaching hires to talk about, some retirements to talk about. There's quite a few things to bring up tonight. So if you want to call in, you can call in at 657-383-1308. We will be live on the air for the next 2 hours before we go into the hour overtime. I see we have Lou already on the line, as always. Lou, good evening. How has your week been?
All right. We got some snow, but nothing terrible. Not whiteout conditions, but lousy anyway.
Yeah, you know, they advertise the same thing around here too, but yeah. Needless to say, we didn't get anywhere close to what they were compared to what they were advertising for my area. I know Boston, though, got whiteout conditions. They were officially classified as a blizzard, which is basically it has to be 3 consecutive hours of blizzard-like conditions, which it was.
My best friend is nearby Boston. Oh, boy.
Yeah, they actually extended it as far as Worcester, I think, had blizzard-like conditions as well today.
Yeah.
But anyways,
they canceled the Islander game, too.
Well, I would figure, considering they're not at the Nassau Coliseum anymore. Are they playing in Brooklyn?
They're playing in Long Island near where they used to play. So the conditions anywhere along the South Shore line or anything where water was,
Oh yeah.
Outed.
Yeah. That makes sense considering they're right near the shoreline. So.
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready to go.
But anyways, you know, we might as well, Lou, talk about the probably the biggest story of the day, which randomly broke some point during the afternoon this afternoon. And there's been conflicting reports about it as to whether or not it's legitimate or not. But once it hit, obviously it spread like wildfire. That is that the greatest of all time to ever play in an NFL game has officially or maybe unofficially retired. We have Tom Brady officially. Well, you know, it was reported that he would be retiring after 22 seasons. But that, of course, was immediately debunked by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization, his agent Don Yee, as well as his father, Tom Brady Sr. That basically, apparently there's been no... You know, no, no,
official word.
No exact report, basically, that had said that he was officially retiring.
Well, the media has made it out to be that way. I mean, I really can't say it's true or not, although, I wouldn't be surprised if he, did retire. I mean, he has, lost a step maybe. I think maybe with a loss to Sunday's game, might have sent him a clue like, well, maybe it's time to hang him up. I think it took a lot out of him.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because it really appeared like, okay, this was a very uncharacteristic of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have so much offensive firepower. They were getting Leonard Fournette back. They were getting Leonard Fournette back and whatnot. And they're getting a couple of others back. This was the first time since preseason that their defense was fully healthy. And they got absolutely shredded by the LA Rams. And I don't think we ever could have predicted that we would have another 28-3 type scenario, or in this case, it was 27-3. But I never understood, I never thought that we would have that type of scenario again. But I mean, if Brady is retiring, he sure didn't play like he was.
Right.
I mean, just let me dig up the score thing here. So it was 30-27. The Rams, and this just showed how pitiful Tampa Bay's defense was the fact that the Rams, I think it was like how many seconds, like 50 seconds left or something, and they threw an immediate bomb all the way down to Cooper Kupp. Who the fuck leaves a safety on a one-on-one with a wide receiver?
Obviously, we only have
not to mention the fastest wide receiver on that roster in Cooper Kupp. It just didn't make sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, that would. I thought maybe they were going to just take a knee and get, sell for overtime, but not the case.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense why they would have a safety on Cooper when it was clearly obvious that Cooper Kupp could. You would at least think he would be double teamed.
Yeah. Instead, they pull a fast one and, hit a bomb and then step for a field goal and pull an advantage on all of them.
It just doesn't make sense whatsoever. But
no, it didn't.
I mean, you take a look at these numbers. Tom Brady, 30 of 54, 329 yards. Now, granted, he only had one touchdown and he threw a pick. But, I mean, those numbers don't look like the numbers of somebody who's on the downhill slope.
No. No, you're right.
So, it doesn't make sense, the fact that Brady was still playing. He led maybe the second greatest comeback in NFL history here, with the being down 27-3 and tying it all the way, going all the way back to tie it at 27 apiece. I mean, what is your take on this, Lou? Why do you think Brady, if this report does indeed hold up, which keep in mind, he's doing a Man in the Arena documentary series, I guess you could say an autobiography almost, of this of his career and and this season. And he's doing it for ESPN Plus, and supposedly there's going to be, I would assume, maybe the finale. Maybe he's waiting for the finale to announce his retirement. Maybe that's why.
I was thinking that too. I'm surprised he was doing it now. I thought he was going to wait till the conclusion of the postseason to do it, you know. But I guess he figured with this loss, he just might. I guess I would assume he was going to do it now and get it over with. But that was the only thing that really surprised me, that he did it now instead of waiting until the conclusion of the postseason, when basically everybody. All those players that say they're going to retire do retire.
Yeah. And let's keep in mind, though, this wasn't put out there specifically by Brady. Somebody had to have leaked it out of his camp. It had to have been, somebody had to have leaked it out of his camp because, you know, knowing how Brady has been for the past decade, he's been all about his TB12 brand and everything. And, you know, building
right,
up his brand both on and off the field. So it wouldn't make sense for his retirement to be leaked by somebody like Adam Schefter. You would think that he would want to do it on his own terms. You know, instead of, you know, maybe release sort of video. Maybe release some sort of video or something.
Yeah. So you think the report is, so you think it's all bogus?
I don't think it's bogus.
Okay.
I think if he does officially retire, I think it's because of the fact that there's a couple of factors. Giselle definitely or finally got into finally won. She's been trying to get him to retire for years. Even back when he won the Super Bowl against the Rams in Super Bowl 53.
Right.
After that, she tried to get him to retire until he ended up doing one more year for New England, and then he went to Tampa Bay. I know that another aspect is that there's so many players coming up for that have contracts coming up. You know, Gronk is one of them. Chris Godwin, he's going to be expecting a major payday this off season. Ryan Jensen, their All-Pro center, is another one that is going to have a payday coming up. You know, Tampa Bay is going to look different next year. And as a matter of fact, Bruce Arians, there was a report that came out that Arians has supposedly told his coordinators that, you know, they're free to look for a different job with a different team. You know, it tells me that they're preparing for something. They're preparing for some sort of turnover happening in the Tampa Bay organization. I don't know if perhaps that has anything to do with Tom Brady's retirement. You know, maybe it will be further exacerbated by Brady's retirement, but I do think there is some sort of credibility, I think, behind it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. It wouldn't surprise me though if it does happen.
But you know, like I said, I do think it's a combination of things. Giselle definitely is playing a role. And I think there's definitely, you know, Giselle playing a role. The salary cap is going to potentially be a problem. Although it's been reported supposedly that the Buccaneers will do anything to ensure that Brady plays for another year. So maybe perhaps.
Well, they did say they were trying to change the roster as well, and that I think, you know, if the, Brady was thinking something, you know, with that. So that might have been another factor.
Yeah. They're thinking of changing up the roster, so maybe perhaps that is playing a role in Brady's decision. But
not surprised, not
surprised. You know, normally you want to go out on top. I mean, this was a disappointing result this season for the Bucks, but honestly, they need a lot of work. They need a lot of work.
Yeah.
On their defense. So, you know, I'm wondering if perhaps Brady has pretty much said, you know, things were different in New England. In New England, I had to work with a rookie my final year as a wide receiver, but overall, things were run much differently in New England. I mean, it hasn't been officially reported yet, but apparently there is a lot. There was a lot of dysfunction in the Buccaneers organization this year.
Yes.
And I think Brady is also potentially very pissed off at the fact that, you know, Bruce Arians has basically taken him, I wouldn't say taken him completely out, but you know how Brady used to be able to make decisions on the fly? He used to be able to make decisions on the fly with when he was with New England. And it's almost as if there's certain points in time where these past two seasons where Arians has decided, no, I'm the coach, I'm the one calling the shots, even though, let's be honest here, Arians has single-handedly cost the Buccaneers some of their games because of his decisions that he's made. So,
yeah.
I think potentially Bruce Arians may play a bit of a role as well in Brady leaving, because he thought it would be much better. You know, Brady thought it would be much better going down to a more relaxed Tampa Bay organization.
Yeah.
You know, maybe perhaps there wouldn't be as much stress, but at the same time,
yeah,
there wasn't as much, you know, there wasn't as much as much order, I guess, if you could put it that way.
Well, now we go like disorder.
Yeah, now it's pretty much chaos, essentially, within that organization.
Yeah.
So I think this is basically, if Brady does officially retire, I think it's him basically saying, you know what, I really don't have that much confidence in where this organization is headed compared to when I first joined. So, I mean, it's entirely possible that the divisional round was the last game that we will have seen Brady play. I mean, they'll allow him to sign a one-day deal to retire as a member of the Patriots, considering the fact that,
yeah,
you know, that's the organization that pretty much,
like, well, one-day contract.
League. Yeah, a one-day contract just so that, you know, he can say he retires as a member of the Patriots.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Does
I wouldn't put it past you. That probably that might happen. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Wow, we got a game here now. Oh yes.
What are you currently watching right now?
On my on the lab, I got the Nets Warriors game. The Nets just took the lead after a terrible start.
Oh wow! Even with Durant and is Harden out too as well?
Harden, I believe, is playing, and yeah, of course, Kyrie is playing. Of course, he's on the road, so I think I said that it was a game time decision for Harden.
Oh, okay. Okay, because
yeah.
I know
so
Harden
obviously
missed the last. I know Harden missed the last their last game with I think it was his hamstring or something.
Yes, it was a hammy.
But right now I'm watching the Royal Rumble right now. The WWE they're doing the Royal Rumble right now. It's the Women's Royal Rumble. But I've had that on since it started around 8 o'clock. But yeah, you know, that's another thing when it comes to the Mets. The biggest problem that they're going to have moving forward is the fact that they're not going to have that big three.
No.
All playing at the same time, more than likely this season. And
well, they haven't
played
much this season anyway.
Yeah, because of Kyrie's whole anti-vax stance.
Moron.
Not just that, but also another thing too is the fact that Harden, quite frankly, he wants out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's been reported that he doesn't really like Buffalo. I almost said Buffalo.
Buffalo is the former home of the Clippers. Yeah. Well, Buffalo is the former home of the Clippers. So.
Oh, okay. But you know, he doesn't really like Brooklyn that much for some reason. There's been
neither
a rumor that maybe perhaps we might see. Oh wow, Ronda Rousey, former UFC champion, is officially back in the WWE.
My favorite glamour puss.
She has officially entered the Royal Rumble.
Yes. Ooh, I wish I had pay-per-view right now.
Actually, it's on Peacock. If you have Peacock,
I probably can get Peacock, but since I'm doing notes right now.
Because the WWE Network is on Peacock, and so basically,
yes.
If you have Peacock, you get the network for free.
Uh-huh.
But you know, for the WWE fans who may listen to our show, Ronda Rousey, it has been rumored that she has signed a new 1-year deal with the company. So she's expected to be a major player moving forward, from my understanding. And as a matter of fact, the plan is supposedly for her to wrestle for one of the women's championships at WrestleMania this year. Not sure if it'll be for Raw or for SmackDown, but. She will be in the main picture moving forward. So for wrestling fans tonight, if you're a Ronda Rousey fan, tonight is the start of her new WWE contract.
Welcome back, Ronda.
She's been out for the last couple of years, I think. She had a kid with her husband, Travis Brown, who is also a former UFC fighter.
I'm aware of that.
So it looks like she's likely, you know, after they had a kid and whatnot, she's taking some time off. She looks like she's in phenomenal condition, by the way.
Yeah.
She looks actually, she probably looks better than she did when she left the WWE at first.
Yeah.
But
well, she was distraught anyway when she left.
She was, yeah. Well, and also it doesn't help either that she was dealing with she actually broke her arm in her last WWE match.
Right.
She broke her arm.
She was
a legitimate broken arm in her last match, which was at, I forget which WrestleMania it was, but she legitimately broke her arm in the triple threat match that she had wrestled in. So, obviously she's taken time off since then, you know, having a kid plus obviously dealing with the broken arm.
Right.
And a couple of years later, she's back. So,
welcome to it. Come to think of it, this is a coincidence because the last time we had a blizzard like this, she hosted Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, you know what? And there was one thing, Lou, that I want to get your thoughts about that happened. That happened tonight. They had, for the first time, honestly, in WWE's history, they had wrestlers from another promotion appearing for the WWE. Now, of course, they were former WWE wrestlers as well, but
right.
Mickie James and Melina, who are both legends on the female, you know, on the female side for women's wrestling, having wrestled for the WWE in years prior.
Yes.
They are currently under contract Impact Wrestling, which is on the Access Channel, which
right,
the last time Jim was on here, we kind of talked about this a little bit. But they were on the Access, or they're contracted to Impact Wrestling, and also one of them is also under contract to NWA as well. Now, usually WWE, they don't like to acknowledge. They don't like to acknowledge,
right,
other organizations outside of their own. However, tonight, for the first time, one of those women, Mickie James, she is the current Impact Wrestling Women's Champion, or Knockouts Champion, as they call it. And for the first time, she actually, this would be the first time since WCW, she actually came out to the Royal Rumble wearing the Knockouts Championship that's property of Impact Wrestling on a WWE program, which is the first time that that's ever happened since Ric Flair came to the WWF with the WCW Championship, which they dubbed it as the quote-unquote the real world title. All the way back then in 1992. I guess the big thing that I'm wondering about, Lou, is what are your thoughts on WWE working with, or not necessarily working, but they have some sort of deal with outside organizations, which is definitely a different practice.
Yeah, I actually could do that.
Now
I thought it's like crossing enemy lines or something. I thought, you know, with them being the, you know, a rivalry and all, and their guys teaming together, I thought maybe that was, you know, against some kind of rules or something. So, you know, it's that kind of shocked me.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking when you think about it, because going back to another wrestling company, AEW, All Elite Wrestling, they had an agreement with Impact Wrestling sometime last year, and they actually had Impact stars appear on their show regularly, and vice versa. They would have AEW stars appear on Impact Wrestling and whatnot.
Right.
Now, obviously, we're not going to see that happen with the WWE. You know, we're not going to have WWE stars appear on Impact Wrestling. But I think this could be potentially Vince waking up to the fact that, you know, obviously there's – he's going to have to adapt in this new – in this new wrestling landscape, and he's going to have to learn to work with others, you know, in order to keep business good. Because, I mean, let's face it, obviously with the WWE, AEW is really their only threat, if I can even call them a threat. Impact Wrestling isn't really a
threat.
They're
a threat? No, that's minor league.
You know, Impact Wrestling isn't a threat. NWA isn't a threat. And, you know, there are so many stars that many fans have wanted to see, you know, think of, you know, possible dream matchups for WWE stars against stars from outside of the company that could potentially take place. I think this potentially opens up that door of possibility, you know, that now that we have some sort of, I mean, people may not think that this was big tonight, having the Impact Wrestling Knockouts Championship appear on a WWE program, but it's huge.
Right.
The fact that they had an Impact and they recognized Mickie James too, as the Impact Wrestling World Champion or Women's Knockouts Champion. They actually recognized her. Like, they put it on screen and everything as the Impact Knockouts Champion. That would be like if WWE had a WCW, if the WWF had a WCW star come on to WWF programming with a WCW title and labeling them as the WCW, I don't know, world champion or United States champion or something like that. You just don't see it.
No. You don't see that at all. So that kind of is a shock in the wrestling world.
So, I mean,
like I said,
know,
I thought, you know, crossing every line, I thought that was not legal in this.
Well, it's more of a forbidden door, as they call it. They call it the forbidden door.
Yes, yes.
That, you know, they're not supposed to – wrestlers aren't supposed to work for multiple companies.
Right.
Oh, and that's wow. Okay, Ronda Rousey, in her first Royal Rumble appearance, wins the Women's Royal Rumble.
Atta girl.
So she will now take on, I'm assuming the final two were her and Charlotte Flair. Charlotte is currently the SmackDown Women's Champion, so I would assume it's probably going to be Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, which is taking place at Cowboy Stadium.
My money's on Ronda.
Stadium. Yeah, by far. She's, you know, the thing that people don't realize about her is she is a legitimate badass. I mean, yeah, she can't. In MMA, she really doesn't like taking shots to the face in MMA, but compared to some of the other crossover athletes that we've seen crossover into wrestling, Ronda has probably one of the best backgrounds. So, you know, with her having, sorry, I was taking a sip of water there, little break there. With Ronda coming back to the WWE, I mean, it's obvious WWE is struggling for star power at this point. You know, they're struggling for star power. They've been put
yes.
under fire so many times because they've had, like, hell. I think they've released around 100 wrestlers or somewhere around that number
wow.
this year alone. So they need to recuperate everything in some sort of way. And I think this is one of the ways they're looking at potentially doing so is let's bring back people who are going to draw headlines. And Ronda Rousey, I mean, let's face it. She's one of the top women in sports
yeah.
today. Or not today, but she was one of the top women in combat sports for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that comes on about her is going to be talked about. And that's the thing that WWE is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, you know, back to I don't know how we got onto wrestling there. But back to Tom Brady here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he is Hall of Fame. He is easily first ballot, should be unanimous.
Yes.
Although, actually, no, there isn't really voting. Or, no, there is voting. There is voting, but he should be a unanimous Hall of Famer, a unanimous first ballot. I mean, you take a look at his accomplishments. 7-time Super Bowl champion, a 5-time mm-hmm. Super Bowl MVP. He's won the NFL MVP 3 times. A 2-time Offensive Player of the Year, a 6-time All-Pro between the first and second team. He's been selected to the Pro Bowl 15 times. He led the league in passing yards passing touchdowns 5 times, passing yards 4 times. He was, I mean, the awards and records basically go on. Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's still up for debate for some people, I guess. You know, some people still believe that Joe Montana is the greatest of all time. You know, I believe that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. This is a gigantic, if he is retiring, it is a gigantic loss for the NFL.
Mm. Not to mention also Roethlisberger, who retired, but we knew that was coming.
Yeah, we knew Roethlisberger. We knew Roethlisberger was.
Yeah, well, that was.
Was going to be retiring. I mean, all you had to do was take a look at his arm this year, and
yeah,
you could basically see that, you know, there was just nothing left in his.
No, not at all.
I mean, it was nowhere near where it was towards the beginning of his career. And actually, you know, come to think of it, Roethlisberger, he did officially announce his retirement this week. Just taking a look at some of the stuff that he accomplished, you know, they won 14 straight games in his rookie year. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl as well. They ended up winning Super Bowl. What's XL?
XL, it's Super Bowl 50?
Wait a minute. No, it's Super Bowl 40. Super Bowl 40.
40.
So they won Super Bowl 40 against the Seahawks. They would go on to reach 2 more championship games, hoisting 1 more Lombardi trophy, with Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger never won MVP or received first-team All-Pro honors throughout his career, though. But then again, you know, when you're dealing with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, you know, it's very hard to to reach the top rankings, basically, when you're dealing with those type of with that type of competition. But you know, he is a surefire Hall of Famer, though. He's currently fifth all time in career passing yards at 64,088. It's the highest total actually for any player whose entire career came with just one team. He played all 18 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for Pittsburgh now because now all they're stuck with is Mason Rudolph, unless Aaron Rodgers decides to go elsewhere.
I don't know.
He did, however, have a top five single game effort with 522 yards in 2014 and a top 10 single season effort in 2018. 2018 was probably one of his best seasons stat-wise. Though after a 2019 elbow injury, that's probably where he lost all of his throwing power. You know, he just never was really the same. But he did finish his career with a playoff start this year, although he did get squished by the Kansas City Chiefs. It remains entirely a possibility that we could see three quarterbacks retire from the league this offseason. Wow. Obviously, Ben Roethlisberger is one. If the Brady one holds, which I believe it will, I believe he's waiting until he can finish his documentary to, you know, officially announce it. That's probably what's going to come in the final episode. So it's obviously, you know, we saw some people rise this year. I mean, Mac Jones, you know, he's potentially going to the Pro Bowl.
Okay, rookie of the year.
He's potentially going to the Pro Bowl with the year that he had. And also Josh Allen, you know, he backed out of the Pro Bowl. So he won't be going. Lamar Jackson won't be going because of his injury. Obviously, with Burrow and Mahomes, one of those two is going to be in the Super Bowl, so they won't be able to go anyways. I think the league, despite losing potentially two or three elite quarterbacks, I think Josh Allen took that big step that he needed to take stat-wise this year. Granted, and we'll get to the divisional round in a minute here because I have a bone to pick with that game. I think Josh Allen did make that big leap that he needed to make. I would classify Allen as an elite quarterback right now, even though he hasn't won a Super Bowl and he hasn't made it to a Super Bowl. Just based off of how he's able to single-handedly take control of a game, I think you're looking at elite status officially for Josh Allen. But I feel bad for the Steelers. Unless Aaron Rodgers ends up leaving Green Bay and goes to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh is going to have to deal with Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback next year.
Oh, dear. Yeah, the Giants are going to deal with Danny Dimes.
Yeah, which, you know, to be fair, with them hiring Brian Daboll, which, by the way, that is an excellent coaching hire, bringing in Brian Daboll from the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, when it comes to Brian Daboll, you can actually attribute a lot of Josh Allen's development to Daboll. And Daboll is supposedly also bringing over Ken Dorsey as well, who has been the quarterback coach for Buffalo the past couple of years. So with Dorsey's going to be his offensive coordinator, you know, you would kind of think maybe perhaps the Giants, if Danny Dimes is going to make a career turnaround at all, it would be this year, this upcoming year. Just considering the amount of work that Daboll and Dorsey have ended up doing with Josh Allen. You know, another thing too is Daboll, he has worked under Belichick, although we saw how well that worked for Joe Judge. You know, he's worked under Bill Belichick. He's worked under Nick Saban. You know, he's definitely, I believe, the most qualified of the candidates that the Giants had interviewed. And considering what he was able to do with Josh Allen in year three, to elevate Josh Allen the way he did, it's a possibility that maybe perhaps you finally see something out of Daniel Jones this year.
Well, he hasn't, you know, lived up to it so far. I mean, the three seasons he's been quarterback, he hasn't done anything. And the Giants have been, you know, the worst 10-year stretch in NFL history.
Yeah, it has been the worst 10-year stretch in NFL history. But at the same time, I mean, what else would you expect hiring a special teams coordinator as your head coach?
Nothing.
With Joe Judge. You know, it's that just had bad news written all over it from the very beginning.
Yeah. You play like crap.
And, I mean, the fact that he waved the white flag like he did going for a quarterback sneak on 3rd and 9, I mean, it shouldn't be that much of a surprise that he got fired. So,
right.
But the hiring of Daboll, in my opinion, is a very good move for the Giants, especially if they want to finally see if Daniel Jones is going to become the franchise quarterback that they originally drafted him to become. And if anybody is going to be able to get that to potentially happen, Daboll, I think, is the guy to do it. Because you're not going to see any stupid play calls come out of him like you did come out of Judge. But speaking of retirements and speaking of coaches, what are your thoughts on Sean Payton stepping away from the New Orleans Saints?
Considering he was in the hot seat, you know, around Thanksgiving time, it doesn't really surprise me at all. But remember, this is not really actually an official retirement, so he might be back. So, you know, it's really tough to say. But, you know, all that he was, you know, under from Thanksgiving on, yeah, it didn't surprise me he decided to walk away from that. So I think didn't
help
me ever at all.
I will say it loosely. He is, quote-unquote, retiring.
Right.
But... I mean, it's obvious, you know, when he comes back, it won't be as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. So New Orleans is going to be officially looking for a new head coach. And matter of fact, the big rumor going around is that when Peyton does return, it will be as the head coach of the Cowboys. And that's the only reason why McCarthy is being given another year. But, I mean, 15 years as the coach of the Saints, he has a 63.1 win percentage, which is fourth best in the NFL, trailing only the Patriots, Packers, and Steelers since 2006. He made the playoffs in 9 out of 15 seasons with the Saints, winning 7 division titles and also winning the Super Bowl back when Drew Brees was the quarterback.
Yes.
Now, maybe perhaps he was burnt out. Maybe perhaps this may also play a part in the fact that I think they're about – I think they said they were about $40 million over the cap or something. Or am I might be thinking of a different. Never mind. I'm thinking of Green Bay. Green Bay is $40 million over the cap. But you know, the next coach of the Saints is going to have $74 million to work with in cap space, and also they have a vacancy under center to take care of as well. Peyton, supposedly, he is being sought after by Fox, with Troy Aikman likely leaving for Amazon, because Amazon is now the sole streamer of Thursday Night Football officially.
Mm-hmm.
So with Troy Aikman leaving for Amazon, maybe perhaps Sean Payton, with his time off, may become the new head guy for Fox, because I know they've been looking for him to try and potentially agree to a deal. And I mean, he is under contract with New Orleans for 3 more years. So maybe perhaps when he does come back, it will be with New Orleans. But they will probably – it sounds like New Orleans will receive compensation if they ever have to relinquish his rights within the 3-year time frame. So if he does come back, I mean, that's going to leave – quite the messy web here for like, say he comes back next year, or not next year, after next year, after he takes a year off. I mean, that would be such an ugly duckling type of move to hire a new head coach only to then get rid of him the next year because your old head coach is coming back out of retirement, or coming back from his sabbatical. So I would think that Sean Payton's days as the Saints head coach are officially done, even if he does return. I would find it hard to think that we would see him officially come back as the Saints head coach. I mean, What are your thoughts, Lou? Because the big rumor is that if he does come, when he does come back, it would be for the Cowboys.
I would love to see it happen. Of course, I don't know if it will, but doesn't. But Dallas doesn't have the rights, though.
No, but they could get the rights.
They would have to go through some major red tape, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they can always trade for his rights, though. It's happened before.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it happened with the Jets in New England.
That's
when Belichick. Belichick became the coach of the New England Patriots.
Yeah,
so
I really have to take
possible.
Some. They had to take some certain measures for the Saints to give it up, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Yeah,
I mean, I would assume you're probably looking at somewhat of a high draft pick for them to get rid of Sean Payton, at least third round, I would think.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but if he does officially come back, you know, that'll be another wrinkle that will have to be unwound to see.
And you,
just exactly.
And you said the magic word.
Unwound.
If.
Well, yeah, you know that it's just
it's always the case. You know, if it happens, if he comes back,
if
he retires, you know, it's always the if factor.
Exactly.
You've heard the it factor. Well, this is the if factor.
Yeah. We also had some other hirings around the league. The Bears, they hired Ryan Polis, who has been the assistant director of player personnel for the Kansas City Chiefs.
My brother will be happy about that.
Looking, you know, basically they're looking to turn around this Chicago Bears organization that's been in flux for years.
Yes.
And Polis actually, I believe he actually played for the Bears at one point. He's a former player.
Right. I think I remember that.
Obviously, Polis, he was still part of the Kansas City Chiefs organization. Kansas City will now receive a third-round compensatory pick in each of the next two drafts because of this hiring by the Bears. And there's talk that Poles may drag the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, along with him to be the team's next head coach. Which could be very interesting because I'm kind of surprised that Bieniemy hasn't found a team yet. You know, he's probably one of the best offensive minds that's out there in today's coaching, in today's coaching pool. And surprisingly, no team has taken a chance in hiring him yet.
Yeah, well, what are you waiting for?
I don't know. You know, it's very, very interesting, the fact that maybe he's going to wait until after the Chiefs either win the Super Bowl or they get eliminated. You know, to potentially move on any coaching decisions, whether he decides to go for any openings.
Right.
There is a report out there that the Bears, speaking of coaches, there's a report out there that the Bears are zeroing in on Raiders interim coach Bisaccia as their next special teams coordinator, as Chris Tabor, who was their former coordinator, he decided not to opt to sign on. They do have a coach, actually. So Bieniemy won't be coming over because they have Matt Eberflus, who's the former he's a former coach from the Colts, I think. I think he was a quarterbacks coach or something. Matt Eberflus is the new coach for the Chicago Bears.
Right.
And, you know, here's the big thing that this is going over to the Raiders a little bit here. If you're Vegas, how are you not looking at Rich Bisaccia as your next potential full-time head coach?
Right. That's the reason I think
he took a big mess that John Gruden left him, and he brought the Vegas Raiders to the Super – or not to the Super Bowl, to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now he's going to go from having – I think he finished with a 7-5 record as Raiders interim coach. You're going to go from that to being a special teams coordinator? Fucking yikes is all I've got to say.
I agree with you more. What the hell is that?
I mean, Lou, what are your thoughts on Vegas, the fact that, you know, Rich Bisaccia is now joining Chicago, and from what it sounds like Bisaccia wasn't even taken seriously in consideration to become the full-time coach for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Even after
I don't get that at all.
Now,
instead,
you have Josh McDaniels, who is the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. He's been in Vegas all day today. He had lunch with the Vegas owners last night, I think it was, and today he spent time there meeting with the Raiders organization to potentially become their next head coach. And from what it sounds like there is momentum behind that. And along with him would come Dave Ziegler, who's considered to be one of the top executives in the New England Patriots organization today. So now you might have a guy in McDaniels who previously left the Indianapolis Colts at the altar when they originally had hired him a couple of years ago, only for him to then go back to New England. And, I mean, I guess maybe perhaps the McDaniels potential hiring. Now, I say potential because it's not official yet, but it sounds like
it sounds like
it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Because McDaniels has really been the only coach that has gained any sort of momentum with the Raiders organization in their meetings. And the Raiders, from all accounts, it sounds like McDaniels had other offers on the table, and he chose to decline all of the other offers so that he could meet with the Raiders. Now, you would think he wouldn't do that unless there was mutual interest between both parties. So, I mean, it's obvious that the Raiders, they need consistent leadership. We saw what McDaniels did for the Patriots back when Tom Brady was still the quarterback, obviously. We've seen the plays that he's been able to call. I mean, what are your thoughts on a potential Josh McDaniels hiring for Vegas? Would it be the right move? Or are there other candidates out there that you feel could prove to be a much better fit?
Some of the candidates out there, you know, besides McDaniel. So I really think that they're going to try and look elsewhere.
I mean, I know Leftwich is out there as a potential option, the current offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers. I know that Mike Zimmer is out there as an option, the former Minnesota coach. Although I hear that apparently he is – or no, I'm thinking of Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio,
oh, yeah.
he's meeting with the Jaguars apparently to the former Denver coach to potentially become the next Jaguars head coach. I mean, obviously, there's probably some other coaching candidates out there, but because of the fact that the playoffs are still ongoing, you know, some teams that may have prospective coaching candidates won't allow them to interview until the playoffs are over.
Mm.
You know, I'm kind of thinking maybe perhaps, because a big thing here is whether or not Derek Carr would be the quarterback under this new head coach. And from all accounts, it sounds like McDaniels is a fan of Derek Carr.
I'm a fan of Derek Carr.
I'm a fan of Derek Carr. I think the big problem is that, you know, they just haven't had a consistent offensive coach to work with.
No.
I mean, you had Gruden, but Gruden was spotty, you know, in some of his some of his decision making, and I don't know. What are your thoughts, Lou? Is this kind of like the Daniel Jones situation? You know, is Derek Carr the guy for the Raiders?
Yeah. I can't say for sure about him. I think he's more of a fit for the Raiders than Daniel Jones is for the Giants. You know, because, you know, I think, you know, Carr is a better quarterback. So I would think, you know, although it would be perfect, I think he is one of the better quarterbacks for the Raiders. Now, what the Giants do about Jones, that's another question altogether. Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as Carr goes, you know, I think the big problem is either he doesn't have good enough protection or –
Yeah.
I know there were a couple of games that they didn't have Darren Waller this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of played a role because Darren Waller, you know, he provides – he's basically like Travis Kelce for the Kansas City Chiefs or Rob Gronkowski for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He provides a whole other dimension to that offense. You know, once you take away Waller, you take away a big part of their offense. So maybe perhaps under a head coach like Josh McDaniels, who we've seen pull out a whole bunch of trick plays, which, by the way, would work probably very well in the Raiders system that they run there. Maybe perhaps that could potentially benefit Carr a lot more.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, people are wondering, okay, if McDaniels leaves, who fills in that slot for the Patriots? And the big name that's floating around out there is the current offensive coordinator and former offensive coordinator for the Patriots, Bill O'Brien, who is now with the Alabama Crimson Tide. And supposedly, supposedly, you know, he was actually taught the Alabama playbook by Mac Jones before Jones officially left Alabama for the NFL. So there is some sort of chemistry there, I guess, even though he's never Mac Jones has never technically played under Bill O'Brien. You know, I don't know. There's going to be some sort of domino effect, and there's also the possibility too that if Brian Flores doesn't get hired, he may return to New England to be their defensive coordinator again.
Yes.
But all I know is that there's probably going
to
be, huh?
It remains
what was that,
seen.
Lou?
It remains to be seen.
Yeah, it does. And also, you know, another thing here too is on his staff. On McDaniel's potential staff, he could bring in Wink Martindale from he's the former Ravens defensive coordinator.
And a former game show host.
Yeah, he could get brought in to be the defensive coordinator for McDaniels out in Vegas.
Okay, okay, that was a bad joke. I got it. Oh, boy.
So, you know, I would assume that if McDaniels would only take that role if he feels that that he would take the interview, you know, if he feels that there's some sort of momentum behind it, basically. But I do think that McDaniels' playbook, his type of playbook that has all of these trick plays and whatnot, could work potentially in the Vegas system that they use out there, the West Coast type system.
Right.
Now, I want to get your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. With how I don't think anybody saw how poorly of a game that the Packers were going to have against the 49ers like they
did. I did not expect that at all. I did not expect that kind of performance from the Packers with Rodgers, you know, especially at home. That game, I think, was, you know, the most, you know, that was the worst game out of all the playoffs last week. I would expect the video. I thought it was going to be an onslaught with the Packers just being up on the 49ers, especially with, you know, Jimmy G out with his thumb injury. I thought, well, how good can you throw a football when you got a thumb injury? So I thought, this is not going to be the game for the 49ers. They don't play in cold weather. And lo and behold, it was a defensive struggle and just went totally opposite of the way I thought it was going to go. So we were all fooled by that one. Boy, did we get screwed there. Screwed.
And not only is he dealing with an injured hand, but Garoppolo is also dealing with a shoulder issue, too, that he suffered in the Dallas game.
Anyway.
Yeah, and they still won anyways. Even though, and you know what, this is actually, I think this might have been a record potentially. They won a game, they won a playoff game without scoring an offensive touchdown.
Right.
They scored a defensive touchdown. I think it was a pick six. Or maybe it was a fumble. No, I think it was a fumble. It was a fumble recovery. A fumble recovery for six. I don't think anybody expected that Green Bay would fall flat like they did. And,
no.
You know, I guess it's led a couple of people to wonder, you know, is Rodgers fully in it? I know he was dealing with some sort of toe issue this season. You know, could that have possibly resurfaced or something?
It's possible.
Just
I don't know if it was the chief culprit, but it's possible.
You know, it just seemed like something was off about Green Bay.
Yeah.
And speaking of Aaron Rodgers, supposedly he wants to go wherever Davante Adams and Marquez Valdez Scantling goes, which, by the way, three of them are going to be free agents.
All three.
So he wants to go wherever those two go, whether that's staying with Green Bay or not. The fact is he's actually holding Green Bay hostage right now as –
okay.
Entering next season, barring that he does some sort of restructuring of his deal, he's into Green Bay for about $40 million. That's why they're over the cap.
Yes.
Because of how they restructured his deal in order to convince him to come back. So, there's...
But do you think he's going to call it quits, too?
I mean, there's always that possibility that he could call it
quits. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because of the problems that he had you know, with COVID and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and his whole vaccination issue that he's been up
yeah.
that was a big headline this year. You know, there's always a possibility that he could potentially, decide, you know what, I've had it. I've had enough. But from what it sounds like
yeah.
he does want to continue playing.
Well, because last year this time, there was an issue with that, and he didn't want to play at Green Bay, but he came back anyway. So, I don't know, he's just pulling this as a stunt. Does he really mean it this time? So, you know. You can go either way, I guess.
Yeah, it's when you look at the teams that he can really go to. I mean, he can't really. I guess he could go to the Saints, but the Saints, you know, they already have a quarterback in Taysom Hill, and they also have Jameis Winston. He could go to Pittsburgh, I guess. You know, Pittsburgh, they have Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have Ben Roethlisberger anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess it's a possibility that he could go to Pittsburgh maybe, but there's always the possibility, too, maybe he just stays in Green Bay. But I would think in order for that to happen, with the bad blood that he has with their general manager, they
That's
would have to get a new general manager for that to happen.
Yeah, he doesn't. He couldn't stand him. So I'm even surprised they decided to stay last year because, like, you know, he hates the general manager's guts. So why would he want to stay unless he only had to?
Yeah. By the way, the score is 78-76 now, Golden
State.
This is
one weird game. I mean, in the third quarter, the Nets are down by only 17. They come back and out of the tie game. This is one weird game.
Yeah, and actually it was It was actually 19, not 17, from
right.
according to ESPN.
Well, okay, then it was even worse.
But still, they've narrowed it down to just 2 points.
Yeah, I know.
But let's talk about like I said, there's always the possibility Aaron Rodgers decides to just stay in Green Bay. You know, maybe they come to some sort of agreement. But
yeah,
I find it hard to believe that could be possible, considering the fact that he has such bad blood with the general manager to begin with.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the gigantic shootout that we saw between the Kansas City Chiefs
yeah.
and the Buffalo Bills. I don't think I have seen such a shootout in years, especially in the playoffs.
It's only that
considering how the divisional round was going so far through three games. And I just don't know. I mean, how the hell do you have a player go for 4 touchdowns, 201 yards in Gabriel Davis, which, by the way, that's a playoff record now officially, the most. No NFL player has ever had 4 touchdowns in a playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, in the last 2 minutes, really, you know, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Not
the last minute, 56 seconds.
Regular season game.
In a minute, 56 seconds, they had 25 combined points. I mean, I just don't understand it at all.
No, I can't understand either how you let a game go, you know, in the bag, and with only 13 seconds, you find a way to screw it up. I mean, you know, my significant other is a Bills fan. For what reason, I have no idea. I've been around 20 years, I can't figure it out. And naturally, I was congratulating her that the Bills won it, but not so fast because the Chiefs found a way to fight back and take it into overtime and win. Well, the sure thing is, what can you possibly do in an NFL game in 13 seconds except go for a miracle touchdown? You had to go all the way around the field.
I don't really. I mean, this should have been the game that made Josh Allen. This should have been the game that turned Josh Allen into the next. I mean, it did kind of do that. It did kind of do that. Where it turned him into the next star, at quarterback for the Bills. You know, I mean, 4 touchdowns, 329 yards. He supposedly had a perfect passer rating.
Yeah.
A perfect passer rating. He had 27 completions on 37 attempts. 329 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also had 11 carries for 68 yards. I mean, there's not much else the guy could have done. And then he loses because the Kansas City Chiefs. He loses because the Kansas City Chiefs basically won the coin toss in overtime and drove the entire length down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah. The field goal,
this begs the question.
Yep. Here we go again.
Do you think there needs to be a change when it comes to the overtime rules?
No.
No?
I'll tell you why. No. Because everybody automatically assumes that the team that gets the ball first in overtime is going to win. No, that is not always the case because the team that gets first possession, you know, they can fumble the ball, they can get intercepted, they can miss a scoring chance on a possession, which sometimes happens, and it goes to the other team. So don't always assume that you get the ball first, you're going to win, the game is over. Look, the result is that they want it with a touchdown, game over, case closed. And you got a quick rubbing about it. You don't want to go back into that. You don't want to go like to the college overtime rule, which is stupid. I mean, that's ridiculous. I liked it better when it was before it became this, just sudden death. But you score a sudden death, game is over. Okay, that's what makes, you know, the NFL so great with its overtime rule since it came into effect. You know, go back to that or keep everything the way it is. And a lot of my crew agree. Keep it the way it is.
You don't think that both sides should at least get an opportunity?
No.
I mean, I've been reading a whole lot of backlash from not just Buffalo Bill fans. I mean, obviously, you know, Buffalo Bills. It's understandable considering.
Right.
They're the team that got screwed. But I've been reading it from all different fans of different teams around the league that that the overtime rules need to be changed somehow. That there needs to be some sort of change that's made because, I mean, let's face it, this game could have potentially gone on. This game could have gone on for God knows how many possessions with the way that both teams were dealing. But
I would have thought we were at the gas.
I think Buffalo is going to potentially suffer, though, because now they've lost their top offensive caller in Brian Daboll. They've lost their quarterback coach, who was a big part of development for Josh Allen. You know, we could potentially see the Bills take a step back, possibly. I mean, yeah, they'll still probably win the division, but, you know, you're probably looking at maybe a tougher time for the Bills, because we're not going to be seeing the same play calling out of them next year.
Right,
With Daboll officially becoming the Giants head coach. So I don't know, but yeah, you know, that game, I mean, my God, 25 points within the last, within the final minute 56 seconds of regulation.
Unheard of.
I don't remember there being a game like that in, at least in the time I've been watching,
never.
In the years that I've been watching the NFL, which has been
never,
which has been the past 20 years or so, 20, 21 years that I've been watching.
For me, it's not
I didn't start watching 30. Full time until I was like 8 years old. So,
right. Same here.
You know, but I'm just dumbfounded the fact that you can have a shootout like this, and everything hinges on whoever wins the coin toss. I mean, it might as well have been.
It doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen, yeah. But I mean, when you have two teams like this that are, you know, on fire offensively, you know, as soon as the Chiefs won the coin toss, you could pretty much say this is a Chiefs win. And actually, one of the moderators for Whispers, Tim, he messaged me as soon as the coin toss took place, and he said Chiefs win.
And what would they have said? They would have lost.
Well, he probably wouldn't have said anything, but I would have said, you want to revisit that again, is what I probably would have said to him. But
I would have said, hey, want a rematch?
I still can't believe that. This was really looking like we were going to see four consecutive, all four games were going to be upsets.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking at it now, I'm finding it hard to imagine that with the four teams remaining, I think we're probably looking at another Kansas City Super Bowl championship. I mean, unless...
I would think so.
Unless the Rams can stop them or the Bengals can somehow pull off the upset. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase has had some absolutely dominant games the past couple of weeks.
Well, I'll give you this right now. I don't think that the Niners are going to have much of an easy time tomorrow. I think it's going to be, you know, the Rams here. So I'm thinking Rams, Chiefs. I don't think if it comes to that, I don't think we're going to see, you know,
a wide margin of victory. I think it's going to be a fairly close game with those two teams. I think it'd be a much better matchup. You don't have to quote me on that, but that's the way I'm looking at it.
I mean, then again, nobody really gave the Niners a chance against Green Bay, so.
No, they didn't.
And we said, and keep in mind, the Niners, they have won 6 straight games against L.A. And Shanahan, actually, Shanahan has had the edge against McVay ever since McVay became the head coach of the Rams. I think this goes all the way back to when Shanahan was still with Atlanta. So, you know, I wouldn't rule out a potential upset here between the Niners and Rams. But even if the Niners do upset the Rams, the Chiefs, if they're in the Super, if we have a Super Bowl rematch between the Chiefs and Niners, I think we're looking at another championship for Pat Mahomes.
Mm.
Honestly, yeah, I feel the only team that has an opportunity is the team that they're facing this week, tomorrow night with, or tomorrow afternoon, actually, in the Bengals. You know, if the Bengals don't get, if the Chiefs somehow get past the Bengals, I mean, maybe the Rams can keep can potentially hold them up with defense. I know considering Kansas City's defense with the holes that are in their defense, the LA offense would be a problem in a Super Bowl for Kansas City. But the question would be the Rams defense, would they be able to get to Pat Mahomes? You know, it's part of the reason why people have had problems against the Bills, for example, because they were able to put pressure on Josh Allen, but Josh Allen can run the ball, just like Pat Mahomes can run the ball. So, I mean, what do you think, Lou? What do you think is the more likely Super Bowl matchup here?
Rams Chiefs.
Yeah, I think I kind of have to agree here. I'm not looking. I mean, unless the Bengals, we're probably going to have another shootout here between the Bengals and Chiefs, like we did their first matchup, and. Assuming if we have another shootout here, assuming the Bengals can pull off the impossible again, and I mean they definitely have the firepower to do it. Problem is they did lose one of their big run blockers in the game against the Raiders, so. I mean, that's not really looking good when it comes to the run defense. So
no.
Kansas City, considering their speed and with Clyde Edwards-Helaire officially healthy again, I think Kansas City could potentially have a big run day tomorrow. They could have a big run day for the run game. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. And actually, Kansas City, they have 33.2 points per game with Mahomes as a starter in the playoffs, which is actually the most in NFL history. 2 points per game. It does say here, though, according to Ian Rappaport, that the NFL competition committee is likely to consider proposed changes to the league's overtime rules, from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds like it could be changed to where both teams would get at least one possession, regardless of the result of the first possession.
Now, is this only applying to playoffs or in general?
In general.
I see.
From what it sounds like. So basically, you know, it would basically make it to where, like, for example, say if the rule was in place last week, if Buffalo had lost, it would be because they didn't convert, they didn't get a touchdown and tie it up on their opportunity, not because, you know, not because the overtime rules prevented it, basically.
Because I see a lot of games where it doesn't always end in the first possession.
Yeah, I mean, there has been games, but, I mean, when you have two... when you have two high profile teams like we did with Buffalo and Kansas City, when they were scoring like no tomorrow, you know, it's almost like, okay, you know, there's so much momentum going on in this game that, you know, you're probably looking at whichever team ends up winning the coin toss is going to end up winning the game, which ended up being the case. So, but yeah, according to Ian Rapoport, it says here that they are likely to consider overtime changes to the league's overtime rules, so that what happened in between the Chiefs and the Bills doesn't happen again. Let's see. I had two things on Sean Payton for some reason. Mike McCarthy, he was told officially, by the way, that he will retain his job for next season. So he will stay as the head coach of the Cowboys. Dan Quinn apparently has been re-signed to a multi-year extension to remain the defensive coordinator. So he won't be going anywhere. I know Quinn was being looked at for potential head coaching positions, and that obviously didn't materialize. And also it appears that Kellen Moore is likely to stay put as well. Let's see. Even if the Buccaneers were able to advance, they would have been reportedly without their right tackle Tristan Wirfs, as he is apparently going to undergo high ankle surgery to repair a high ankle sprain, as reportedly he had two torn ligaments, including one of them completely off the bone. He had suffered the injury in the wild card round, but he was hoping to put off surgery and return later in the playoffs. So even if they were even if they had advanced and beaten the Rams, it's not all that certain that he would have been able to return anyways. So, you know, that's another thing, too, that's
right.
kind of going against Tampa Bay is, you know, having to undergo surgery, you don't know if he's going to have a if he's going to have a down year next year because of that.
It is possible.
With how
I mean, it happens a lot with players.
And you got to imagine how much pressure is being put on his ankle, too. So,
oh, hell yeah.
You know, having to have surgery to repair two torn ligaments, you know, that's probably something that would be exploited by the defensive lines next year, assuming he returns at 100% health. And also, this is kind of interesting. Speaking of injuries, AJ Dillon had suffered a fractured rib for the Green Bay Packers, and he had left during the third quarter of the game against San Francisco. And if the Packers were still alive in the playoffs, this injury would be kind of notable because AJ Dillon has been pretty much he became a huge part of Green Bay's offense throughout the year. So, I mean, even though Aaron Jones has been, the primary running back, you know, not having AJ Dillon in there would have basically made it to where Green Bay would be forced to have to rely on Aaron Jones. And it's obvious, you know, that Green Bay, they've not wanted to do that for, you know, they wanted to lessen the workload on him. And with AJ Dillon suffering a fractured rib, who knows if he would have been able to play against the LA Rams this week. So, you know, team's still dealing with injuries, even if they were to have advanced.
Right.
Also, we're not sure if there's been an update on this yet, but Tyrann Mathieu has been in concussion protocol this week for the Chiefs ever since he left the Bills game early on with a concussion. He suffered it like very early after taking a knee to the head early on in the first quarter.
Ugh.
But that would be a pretty big loss against the Cincinnati offense, as he has 3 interceptions and 6 pass defenses on the year this year for Kansas City. So that would be a pretty big loss for Kansas City, at least on defense. So that's something to potentially keep an eye on heading into tomorrow's game, which is, I think, at 3:00.
Yeah, that's correct.
And last I checked, I didn't see any update on him today. So I don't know. Going back to the Packers here, this is why it looks unlikely that Aaron Rodgers would be back next year. Rodgers, obviously, he wants to be with wherever Davante Adams and Marcus Valdes-Scantling goes. However, Davante Adams wants a contract exceeding nearly $30 million per year.
Yeah.
Because he wants to be the league's highest paid receiver. And this would clearly put him in that he would clearly be the highest paid receiver with a contract that big. So the easiest option for Green Bay would be to franchise tag him, which would count for $22 million
right.
against the cap. So I don't know. It just, with them $40 million over the cap already, it just looks unlikely. I think we have probably seen the last of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Now, I don't know if we've seen the last of him in the NFL, but I think we've definitely seen the last of him in Green Bay entirely.
So where would he actually go?
Pittsburgh would be an option. You know, Pittsburgh, they have a couple of wide receivers that are going to be hitting the free agent market as well. So I think Pittsburgh would definitely have the space in terms of cap space.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. It just looks unlikely that we would see Rodgers return. But I don't know. I mean, Rodgers already had the Packers void the final year of his deal, which was supposed to be next year. And with the Broncos hiring Nathaniel Hackett, who was the offensive coordinator for the Packers, as their head coach, you know, that's another team to potentially look out for Rodgers is Denver, because Nathaniel Hackett was apparently close to Rodgers. So that's another team to potentially look out for, and they are in need of a quarterback, with them having uncertainty between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. And Rodgers had previously endorsed him for a head coaching job last year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers. So obviously, this isn't going to be the last that we've heard of.
I seriously doubt it.
This won't be the last that we've heard of Aaron Rodgers. Matter of fact, you know, maybe he did say though that he wouldn't make the Packers wait. That when he does make a decision, he would try to make a decision as quickly as possible, and he would let them know as quickly as possible.
Yes.
So, it sounds like maybe perhaps a decision may come sooner rather than later for Rodgers, maybe potentially following the Super Bowl. Also, the Kansas City Chiefs, they have released troubled cornerback Damon Arnette, who was formerly a Las Vegas Raider before he got released by the Raiders due to his I forget what it was that he suffered off the field, but he was involved with some legal trouble off the field. And he got released by the Raiders. This time, he got released by the Chiefs after they had signed him to a futures deal. And this time, he was arrested for assault, gun, and drugs charges in Vegas.
Don't forget marijuana.
Oh, it wasn't just he literally had I wish I could find the photo. But I mean he had like it looked like it was a like an assault rifle. JB, by the way, I have officially connected you on on the line here.
Okay.
But it says Arnett reportedly threatened a valet with a gun. And the gun that he's holding in a photo here that was taken on TikTok or something, it looks like, honestly, it looks like an assault rifle. With all the attachments that are attached to it. It says here that he attempted to retrieve a car without a valet ticket, which led to a dispute. Arnett pulled a gun on the valet, and the police were then eventually called. Arnett also threatened somebody with a gun back in November, which then caused him to get released by the Raiders. But the official charges are assault with a deadly weapon, carrying a concealed weapon, and possession of a controlled substance after a dispute had allegedly occurred at the Park MGM on Las Vegas Boulevard, from what it says here. And he's also in the middle of a lawsuit, too. But hey, JB, I want to get your thoughts on your Cincinnati Bengals, man, making it to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, it's the first time in what, like 30 years or something like that?
33.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, I was actually surprised at how well they played compared to the Las Vegas game. It was a better game. Whether that had anything to do with the refs, you know, I really can't say. You know, you guys can say what you want about the refs. To me, I don't want to say that the game was handed to them, but they really didn't play as well playing against the Raiders as they did last week against the Titans.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of surprised that they handled the Titans the way that they did. What a time for the 2015 version of Ryan Tannehill to return. I mean,
yeah.
My God, he just looked completely lost in that matchup.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally, I used to refer to Tannehill as Mr. Regular. Like, he's not good, he's not bad, he's just there. You know, he's regular.
Right.
You know, and that's pretty much what he looked like. He looked like the Miami Dolphins version of Tannehill rather than the Tennessee Titans version of Tannehill.
Right. And the only other thing I have to say is that I was disappointed in the Bengals. Well, not disappointed because I saw it coming, but as far as the 9 sacks that the Bengals gave up, to Burroughs, to me just shows how Burroughs is compared to, you know, other quarterbacks, I guess.
I think that set the new record, too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
9 sacks?
It did. It's like 9
man,
sacks, and it's like, man, if only the Bengals, you know, I've been saying it all the time ever since they... about a year and a half ago when they picked him, when they had the number one pick.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
If only they get somebody to protect the quarterback, you know, if they had somebody that would protect the quarterback, this team would, you know, kick ass, I think.
Yes. Well, let me pose this question to you, JB, because this has been a topic of discussion ever since the draft. Actually, was the decision was whether they would go with Ja'Marr Chase or if they would go with Penei Sewell, who ended up going to Detroit, I think. And he's part of the all rookie team this year, I think too. You know, a lot of fans thought that a better decision would have been to go with Penei Sewell because they needed offensive help or they needed a protection help for Burrow. But I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, he's likely the rookie of the year this year. And I mean, some of the games that he has put up, you know, he had instant chemistry to begin with Joe Burrow, having played with him at LSU. I don't know about you, JB, but I would kind of think that Ja'Marr Chase, that they made the right choice going with Ja'Marr Chase instead of Penei Sewell.
And another thing about that, too, is they say, you know, how good Ja'Marr Chase is. But if you look at some of the other games, he really hasn't played as well. You would think that this connection with Burroughs and Chase, you know, that they would just like that. But I guess it's because Chase and Burroughs has come to the NFL, and the NFL is nothing like, you know, the NCAA, like LSU.
Right.
Well,
there's a clear
difference.
There is a clear difference.
Maybe that is the big difference. But otherwise, I say this coming season, no matter if they win or lose Saturday, they got to get somebody, you know, they got to get some offensive linebackers to protect Burrow.
Lou, what are your thoughts? Do you think the Bengals went with the right decision by going with Ja'Marr Chase in the draft, or do you think that they should have gone with Penei Sewell? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, he's looking like the rookie of the year right now.
Yeah, I went with Chase. I mean, he's doing a great job. I think, seriously, that was the right choice right there. I have no complaints with that at all.
Because, I mean, if you get,
absolutely,
at the very least, you know, at the very least, if you can, I mean, yeah, you do need offensive line help, yeah. But also, I mean, Burrow, he took quite the step up this year, having Ja'Marr Chase to throw to. Apart from having T. Higgins and you know, C.J. Uzoma, you know, bringing in Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, yeah, you know, they have, there's been problems in terms of pass protection, but I mean, you know, they can always address that at some point.
Yeah, and still with, you know, if I was Tennessee, I'd be saying, you know, hey, we sacked this guy 9 times. The least we could do is, you know, beat their ass. But even getting sacked 9 times, it's like, it was like nothing. It was like nothing for Burrow to get sacked 9 times.
No.
It was like, well, you sacked me once here, you sacked me twice there, you know, the third time's gonna just I'm gonna kick your ass.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
I'll tell you one thing though, Burrow definitely took a step forward this year. With his level of production. I mean, you kind of have to wonder what would have happened if Burrow had played the entire year last year for Cincinnati, if he didn't get injured and was fully healthy, how Cincinnati's season would have potentially ended.
And I even made a comment in Sports Whispers about I picked Cincinnati to win and San Francisco, and I said, you know, if Cincinnati does win and if San Francisco wins, this will be Cincinnati-San Francisco 3.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they would have a better chance of beating San Francisco this year than the past years.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I looked at too, Cincinnati playing San Francisco in the Super, or anybody playing San Francisco in the past Super Bowls, Cincinnati has come closest to San Francisco as far as the score. All the other scores, San Francisco has beaten the crap out of the other teams.
Exactly.
They really haven't, beaten the crap out of Cincinnati. They've come from behind and beat them. But they really haven't, you know, the bottom line score really doesn't show that they, beat the crap out of them.
They certainly did.
Yeah, I do think San Francisco is probably the better matchup between San Francisco and L.A., for Cincinnati in a potential Super Bowl. I just don't know, though, if Cincinnati can, because you've got to think that Kansas City is going to be prepared to see the same looks that they got, in the previous matchup against Cincinnati.
Right.
So, I'm assuming we're probably going to see another shootout between these two, but I'm not all that certain that it's going to be the same result.
Take a look at
what Kansas City was able to do in the shootout that they had against Buffalo, and just when it seemed like Buffalo had the game won, Kansas City barely broke a sweat in tying the game up. So, you know, I said this before you came on the air, JB, but I really think we're looking at another Kansas City Super Bowl victory. And we're going to have more obnoxious celebrating by Pat Mahomes' fiancé. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, did you guys see that? I mean, her spraying that champagne all over the fans on the below her, which, by the way, one of those fans was a recovering alcoholic, apparently. And one of them was also a kid. Now, imagine being a recovering alcoholic and having champagne doused all over you. You know, it's completely irresponsible by her. I mean, it's like you won a divisional game. At least at least act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's the Super Bowl, okay, that's a different story. But, or even, you know, I don't think there would have been this big of a, I don't think there would have been this big of a problem if say, this was done after they won the AFC title game. I mean, okay, you know, there is a reason to celebrate because, yeah, you've made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I think because it was a divisional win, I think that's why people are so pissed off. Well, that and also.
Right.
That and also because of some of the other stuff. Like I said, you know, she doused a recovering alcoholic with.
Well, did she know that, though?
No, she didn't know that, obviously, but still. You know, it's like you got to be – you're supposed to set an example. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, she
right.
isn't a player, but she is a player's – she is a player's fiancé. So – you know, she's got to be the example setter, basically.
Maybe she was too drunk to know, too. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
We don't
well,
know.
Everything
we
she does,
you know.
Everything she does now is for social media, basically. It's the same thing with Pat's annoying brother Jackson, who literally does everything
okay,
has
okay.
to do with fucking TikTok. Like, he took a TikTok when they were on, I forget what field, I forget what stadium they were visiting, but they took a TikTok of him celebrating on the team, or dancing on the team's logo.
Dancing on the team's logo?
At midfield. Yeah, at midfield.
Well, that's a new one.
I mean, it just...
Is there anything on just plain loco?
I just don't know. You know, it's sort of a little pet peeve, I guess. But I would think that, you know, act like you've been there. Basically, is what I'm saying. And by the way, I said I was watching the Royal Rumble earlier. Johnny Knoxville, the Jackass star, has entered the Royal Rumble.
Okay, Jackass.
The star of MTV's Jackass is a professional wrestler.
Well, you can drop the Jack there.
Didn't he have brain damage or something like that?
He did,
actually. He, you know, obviously Jackass Forever is the new film that's coming out. And in one of the scenes, he apparently he got absolutely destroyed by a bull, where the bull literally flipped him. Flipped him in the air, and he spun. I watched it over again. He spun twice in midair.
Wow.
And he ended up suffering severe brain damage, apparently. He had a brain aneurysm. I'm sorry. He just took a massive frog splash. Wow. And, you know, the thing is, Knoxville, he's one of those – He's the one that takes the most damage out of all the Jackass guys. And there he goes. He's been eliminated.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it's – he – that was probably his biggest – stunt, I think, that apart from the one where he where at least according to him, he ended up breaking his dick in half, no pun intended, or, you know, not lying about that. apparently, when he did the tribute to Evel Knievel, where he tried to do a motorcycle flip in midair, and problem is he fell off the motorcycle, and then the motorcycle fell on him. But apart from that, apparently this this most recent injury that he had was probably the worst one that he's ever suffered while on the show.
Yeah.
But anyways, enough about Jackass.
Yeah.
He's been eliminated from the Rumble anyways. You know what? Let's talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame, as we had official Hall of Fame announcement this past week, and we do have one new member. David Ortiz was inducted with he was voted in with 77.9% of the vote in his first year. And meanwhile, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they missed by about 9 to 10% of the vote. Bonds had 66, Clemens had 65.2. And obviously, most people can kind of understand why they didn't get voted in, because of the steroid era and everything.
Yeah, but at the same time, Ortiz also took steroids, but they still let him in. Okay, he admitted that he took it and tested positive, but still, you let him in anyway? I don't think that's right.
Well, the league actually recognizes him as not having tested positive. They said I recall something. Manfred said it was something like he had a false positive test or something, and that they shouldn't take his the positive test seriously when it comes to voting.
Really?
Because it was never discussed what he tested positive for and whether or not it was even banned at the time.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I can understand why Bonds didn't get in. Because,
of course.
I mean, number one, you know, he actively tried to cheat the system for multiple years when he was already a Hall of Fame caliber player before he even took the steroids. Not just that, but also apparently because keep in mind, part of the voting credentials have to do with character and stuff like that. You know, character and morality and stuff like that. And stuff like that. Apparently, he was known for beating each of his ex-wives or an ex-girlfriend while he was with them.
Yeah.
And that was widely publicized in the sports news as well. So I think that may have played a role. I think as far as Clemens goes, I think it's the fact that he never fully admitted that he tested that he took steroids. I think it's the fact that he continued to deny it even after it was fully disclosed what he what he tested positive for. You know, he just continued to deny it for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
And I think that might have a reason to do with why Clemens didn't get in. Now, Bonds and Clemens, obviously, they will go to the modern committee, as they call it, where they have the opportunity, they still have the opportunity to make the Hall of Fame. They just won't get into the Hall of Fame via the baseball writers.
Right.
They'll have the opportunity, though, through the modern committee, which my understanding is it's 16 committee members. They vote on they vote between 10 different 10 different qualified players. So they choose 10 different players, I guess, every year to vote upon,
right,
to vote between. So they still do have the option potentially get in that way. And so does Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling, he only got 58.6% of the vote this year after he openly – and this is where I think he made a big mistake. I think he could have potentially gotten in this year. I think he could have gotten in this year. The big problem is he openly told the writers last year after he didn't get in. He missed by like 4% last year. He openly told the writers, just don't vote for me this final year. Please don't vote for me this final year. I think if he hadn't done that, he would have potentially gotten in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had had enough momentum to where he could have gotten in. I mean, he was in a better position than Bonds and Clemens were entering this year before he made those comments. Now, Scott Rowland, he finished at 63.2%. In all honesty, I think Roland may potentially get in next year. If not, then maybe the
Scott
year
Rowland?
After. Yeah, Scott Rowland.
Okay.
He finished with 63.2% in his fifth year of eligibility. Some of the other notables. Let's see. Todd Helton, in his fourth year, he finished with 52%.
Right.
Billy Wagner, in his seventh year, finishes with 51%. I think he had a little bit of a drop, potentially. I'm going to need to double-check that. Let's see. Andrew Jones, in his fifth year, 41.4%. Gary Sheffield in his eighth year, 40.6%. So it looks like Sheffield probably – I don't think he's going to get in these final 2 years. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah.
A-Rod in his first year, he got 34.3%. It may be a while potentially for him, because considering he was one of the steroid users as well, that was one of the big name users, the multiple offenders, I should say. Jeff Kent in his ninth year, only 32.7%. He's pretty much eliminated next year, barring some sort of miracle. He probably won't get in. Manny Ramirez, in his sixth year, 28.9%. Omar Vizquel saw a major, major drop. He fell in his fifth year all the way to 23.9% after his domestic issues that he had this year. I think he was arrested for domestic violence or something this year. Sammy Sosa, in his final year, he only got 18.5%. So he'll be presented to the committee as well. I don't know if he'll get in, though. I don't think he'll get in.
No, I think the steroid users are not going to get in.
Well, I think Bonds and Clemens would have a better chance with the modern committee than Sosa would.
Yeah.
But I don't see Sosa getting in, especially with how far down he finished this year in his final year.
Andy Pettit in his fourth year, he got 10.7% of the vote. He's not really making any headway. So, I don't know. It's not looking good for Pettit. He's not making the jumps that he needs to make.
I find that surprising.
Let's see. Jimmy Rollins in his first year, 9.4%. So he's off to a good start, I would assume. Maybe, perhaps, he'll probably eventually make the Hall. Bobby Abreu, his third year, 8.6%. Mark Burley just barely stays on the ballot, 5.8%. And the same with Torrey Hunter at 5.3%. Those who are officially eliminated from the ballot are Joe Nathan, who had 4.3. Tim Hudson has been eliminated from the ballot with only 3%. Tim Lincecum only had 2.3. Ryan Howard only had 2. Mark Teixeira had 1.5. Jonathan Papelbon had 1.3. Justin Morneau, also 1.3, and both AJ Pierzynski and Prince Fielder are both eliminated with only 0.5%.
Wow.
And meanwhile, Jake Peavy and Carl Crawford didn't even receive any votes. So,
yeah.
And that's a bet.
I'm kind of surprised at Fielder. I thought Fielder would at least receive a few. I thought he would at least get to the 5% mark. I'm kind of shocked, honestly.
And I know Jim made a post about Pete Rose. And even I wrote in there that the only way I can see Pete Rose going in is posthumously.
Yeah, especially after his betting. Think about
it.
You have among the leagues, or among the leaders in a career, you take a look at Bonds, who was the league leader in history in home runs, or was he the league? Yeah, he passed Hank Aaron. Although there's a gigantic asterisk next to that. You have Roger Clemens, who won the most Cy Young awards in history. And you have Pete Rose, who has the most hits in history. And yet neither of those three are in the Hall of Fame.
And another thing, too, it wasn't really... The betting that Pete Rose did was only during his managerial time. It was not during any of his, he did not play during that time.
Yeah.
Because he only played until, 88 or something like that? And I don't think that he was gambling while he was playing. No. It was only when he was a manager.
It was 86 that he last
86.
Played.
Yeah?
Yeah, he retired. He retired with the Reds on August 17th, 1986.
Okay. Maybe he became a manager in 88 or something like that.
He became a manager. Actually, no, he did play while he was a manager.
Before that?
No, he played while he was a manager.
Which is unusual.
He played for the Reds between 84 and 86, but he managed between 84 and 89.
Okay.
So I don't know when. Yeah, he was penalized in 89 with permanent ineligibility. Yeah, it says he gambled on baseball games while he played for and managed the Reds. So
okay.
I thought he was just a manager at that time. Okay.
Yeah, no, he was a player too.
Okay. I thought he was a player manager in like 90 or something like that. Or
no.
Maybe it was like 88. No. I was thinking it was before before they found out that he was gambling. And when he was gambling, he was betting on his own team. He wasn't betting against his own team. He was betting for his own team.
Yeah, but still, it's frowned upon. I mean, you look at Evander Kane.
Right.
You look at Evander Kane with the San Jose Sharks. Now he's a Edmonton Oiler. You know, he's been accused of betting on his team's games by his wife. So, you know, who knows if that's true. But he's been, you know, he's been I'm kind of surprised. Obviously, if that ends up becoming true, he won't get banned now because, you know, there's so many sports leagues now that are associated with casinos and whatnot. So,
yes.
You know, it would kind of defeat the purpose at this point.
Right.
If they were,
you know, you got DraftKings and you got all these other things that are,
yeah,
all these other ones that are coming out, and it's like, geez.
So when you think about it, it's kind of hypocritical now of baseball for them to be affiliated with gambling, and yet Pete Rose is banned from baseball.
Yeah.
Not just banned from baseball, but banned from ever even having potential consideration to go into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, anything to do with baseball.
He is allowed to participate in some Reds, things that are going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as official, official activities involving Major League Baseball. Like, you can't be an ambassador for Major League Baseball or something, you know?
Right.
Okay.
But he can still be involved with the team, I guess. He just can't be a part of an organization. Like the Reds, for example, couldn't make him a scout or something. They couldn't, he can still be recognized as a former Reds player and whatnot. But he can't hold any official position or something. So, you know, I still think it's bullshit that he's that he is still banned. I would think that at least once they got into bed with the casinos and everything, you know, I would think that they should at least remove the ban from Hall of Fame, from Hall of Fame consideration.
Yeah.
And have him get in through the obviously he can't be up for consideration for the baseball writers. By the way, apparently the original deadline was 15 years for the baseball writers ballot instead of 10. They narrowed it down to 10. I forget what year it was, but so under the original, Barry Bonds and Clemens would still be in the running, as would Curt Schilling and Sammy Sosa. But, you know, as far as Ortiz, the fact is he never officially tested, like, they didn't reveal what he had tested positive for, if he ever really even tested positive for anything. You know,
right.
It sounds like it may have been a false positive test. And even then, that was before, another thing to keep in mind is that was before they started the comprehensive testing system that they've been doing. And ever since they started that system, this is when he did all these accomplishments. You know, you could argue that, I mean, yeah, he may have taken a steroid or a performance enhancer early in his career, but he's tested cleanly after that. And there's a lot more, they've been tested a lot more times per year. They get tested regularly, actually, I believe. So, you know, under this new system, all the stuff that he's done as a player, you know, that's basically, that basically absolves him. But I don't know, you know, it's been a debated topic.
Right.
Yeah, just like you can debate, what's his name? Gosh darn it. Lance Armstrong for...
Yes.
For cycling.
You know, then again, though, Armstrong admitted to it, you know?
Right. And then again, even if you have performance-enhancing drugs, it's like, you know, it's hard to explain how they can actually help you when he was actually there was times where, you know, he was way back in the field, but he was with the, he was all in the peloton. So he kept his time, and he kept his yellow jersey. But it was like, what, six years in a row? It's like, you know, wow.
Yeah.
But then that,
I mean,
yeah, but that,
don't forget though, Lance Armstrong's going to have that stain on his career because he took because he took the steroids.
Right. Yeah, and it was after that that he stepped down from what was it? What was that? Livestrong. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a. Forget what you call it.
I don't know. But
yeah.
But you know, that's cycling, and I'll still watch it no matter what.
By the way, I want to put in a quick reminder here. We do have about 15 minutes left, but I want to put in a quick reminder before I forget. This upcoming Tuesday night, we will be doing a special preview edition of the Big Brother, a Celebrity Big Brother recap podcast, hosted by myself and Melissa. This season we have 11 new house guests, including sports wise we have former NBA champion Lamar Odom that is part of the cast for Celebrity Big Brother this season, where obviously with the preview show Melissa and I will break down the cast and see and give our thoughts on what their chances might be of potentially winning this season. Oh, also in the cast also is current UFC fighter Miesha Tate as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the whole steroids thing, it's basically, you know, for the Hall of Fame, if you ever took steroids, you can pretty much, that's why I believe that A-Rod isn't going to get in. Or if he does, it'll be in his 10th year. Because you take steroids, and that's pretty much a black mark on your entire career. And it's why Lance Armstrong, you know, going back to cycling here, that's why Lance Armstrong is looked at so negatively now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, it sucks, but, I mean, you know, if it's a performance enhancing, I mean, there's no reason why you should be considered for the Hall of Fame when you openly cheated the system.
Right.
But anyways, some other little bits of information here. Representatives from Major League Baseball, as well as the Players Union, did apparently complete a two-hour face-to-face meeting this past Monday in Manhattan, and a proposal was discussed. Apparently, the players have modified their stance in regards to player free agency, because I guess the current thing is in order to reach free agency you have to have 6 years of service time, I think.
Yeah.
Is the current thing that obviously is going to potentially change. But some of the other things that they've talked about is a modified stance on revenue sharing, reducing possible cuts from $100 million to $30 million. They're still hoping to get players to salary arbitration after 2 years, though, instead of three. Looks like this upcoming Tuesday, the two sides will apparently meet again, from what it sounds like. So it sounds like there's at least some sort of progress being made, maybe?
A little, but nothing really major.
I'm sure with, you know, Steve here having his podcast, I'm sure he mentioned about Tom Brady retiring.
Or I guess you could call it retiring because it isn't official yet.
I thought it was.
No, it's not official yet. It's been disputed by his father, by the Bucks organization. The Bucks organization didn't even know that he was going to be retiring when the announcement was made. And his own organization, the TB12 thing, they originally tweeted out congratulations on his retirement, but they have since taken the tweet down and everything. So there's still a question as to whether or not there is an actual retirement, or if he is going to come back for another year, potentially.
Yeah, his dad says that his son is not retiring. This is a tweet, like 7 hours ago.
Yeah, I would think, though, just based off of what we've been seeing, I think it's probable that we're probably looking at a retirement from Brady because of the fact that Giselle has been trying to get him to retire for so many years now, among other things.
And she actually makes more money than he does.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's.
If I was Tom,
is,
I wouldn't even care.
No, I do think it is the end for Brady, and it sucks because of the way he's going out. But
yeah.
But that's just it's just unfortunate because a coach has decided to let his ego. Let his ego take over as opposed to letting the quarterback who's been the greatest of all time make the calls.
Yeah.
He's got a big ego, that's for sure.
So, it sucks, but that's – especially with Byron Leftwich potentially leaving too. There's going to be a lot of potential turnover coming out of the Tampa Bay organization. I think I'll tell you right now, the NFC South, it looks like it's going to be completely dead next year.
Okay.
Put in the top SEC teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's not going to be there are going to be teams that are probably going to be worse than the than any of the NFC South teams. But, I mean, you take a look at Tampa Bay, who was the top this year. You take a look at New Orleans, who was at on the top last year for the division. And New Orleans, they lost Sean Payton. They don't have a quarterback. You know, it's just... It just doesn't look good at all for the NFC South because you don't really have anything, really, in that division. I mean, maybe Tampa Bay could potentially win just by default because of the fact that they have a better roster, potentially. I don't know. But it's the only other option is maybe perhaps Aaron Rodgers finds his way down to Tampa Bay. I guess, you know, we discussed this earlier that perhaps Aaron Rodgers may not return to Green Bay with how he left or without with, you know, with the salary cap problems that they're having. So. You know, who knows as to whether or not Aaron Rodgers may potentially find himself in Tampa, which is possible. I mean, they already have some issues that they have to deal with to begin with some of their free agents. But who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking where he might go to Denver. I don't know.
Yeah, he might go to Denver possibly. From especially with his offensive coordinator going to being hired by Denver as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, who knows?
Yeah. But, anyways, you know, that's probably going to do it for tonight. We got about 3 minutes left. You know, obviously, we'll be back next week for another edition of Sports Whispers Weekly. And a reminder, once again, to any Big Brother fans who may listen to this podcast. I know Kansas sometimes listens to this podcast, I believe. Kansas, if you're listening, this upcoming Tuesday will be the preview show for the Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother recap podcast. Normally, the recap podcast will be on Thursdays, but because of the fact that Thursday apparently is a 2-hour episode this upcoming week, it's going to be on Tuesday this week. Mm. So, yeah. Anyways, we are gonna cut it short a little bit early tonight. But thank you, Lou, for joining me. Thank you, JB, for calling in.
My pleasure.
We'll be back next Saturday night for another edition of Sports Whispers Weekly. Everybody have a great rest of your weekend, and we will see you guys next Saturday night.